take work and look down, that you take all our opinions, positions out of the way, so that only your word will pertain to this service tonight. We thank you, Father, for the peace and all that is there. And a special blessing to you and your family tonight. Right now.
Amen.
Sweet 16, that's the number of my mic. Yeah, and it's some kind of purple, pink, whatever color there. I don't know what color it is. I kind of like the pastor. I can't see colors too good. Boy, I'm telling you what, it takes a tall fella to sit behind this thing right here now. At least nobody's in the middle aisle. He must have been standing on his toes when he measured this. Well, I want to welcome everybody tonight. Thank you for being here. Pastor called me sent me a text the other day. He wanted to know if I could be here on Tuesday night. He's got a family. Some of his grandchildren is singing in a choir tonight. So he had a very special thing, an event he needed to go to, take a few minutes with that. And I told him I would be glad, privileged to stand behind the pulpit and be able to bring out the Word of God a little bit, and I pray that tonight that you will be edified and God will be glorified tonight. So, praise God. You know, we're right here at the very beginning of the Christmas season, a time when people are it's very commercialized compared to what it used to be when I was growing up, and people hustle and bustle and run around and try to get everything done, and they spend a lot of money. And as I told Brother Billy the other day, I told him I had talked to Santa Claus about him, told him he'd been a good boy. And Santa Claus said, well, because of that, he can have anything for Christmas that he can afford. He said he had to talk to his accountant about that, what he could afford. So anyway, that's the way at least it certainly should be, but it's a terrible thing that people have a tendency to overindulge, like they're doing a lot of things that they enjoy. Just like myself, when I sit down at the dinner table, I have a tendency to overindulge in things that I enjoy. And so anyway, it's also a time of the year when a lot of people become depressed. And we all know that. You know, it's one of the highest seasons. This thing giving us a hard time, Don. It's maybe the way I'm leaning on this big piece of metal up here. It's kind of like being in a satellite here. Let me step away just a little bit. Anyway, it's the time of the season, you know, it's the highest rate of suicide in any other time of the year. It's during the holidays. And it's because people get down and out and depressed, and they see all the cheer and the joy and the happiness going on around them. And sometimes maybe are having trouble or problems in their life, and that's all they can see. They can't see the cheer and the joy and the celebration of Christ that's going on because of the commercialization of Christmas. And we all know it's a time to celebrate the life of Christ, and it's a wonderful time of the year. But what I want to do, last time I talked with you guys, I talked to you about sowing seed. I talked to you about the sower and the seed. You remember, and planting a garden, and the word is the seed that you plant in the garden, and you use scripture to be able to sow seed to help other people. And people, that's the way you help. That way, God wants you to help other people, to sow the seed of the word, sow it into their hearts, so that they'll have something to fall back on, something to reach out and grasp hold of and to feed on during times when maybe times aren't so good. Again, the holiday season is a time of rejoicing for the birth of Jesus Christ. We don't know, as Eddie said, we don't know when he was born. It's just a time of the year at Christmas that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And I really think that's a time when celebration is at its highest point. But I want to read you a little something. What I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. And what I want to do is arm you and supply you with a lot of seed tonight that you can use. Now, what I'm going to be doing is talking to the Christians, because what I'm talking about tonight is we'll refer to people that are saved and know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I want you to be able to take these scriptures. A lot of them you already know, and maybe you don't know exactly where they're at, but if you take notes, you can write these down, or you can listen to the video and get hold of these scriptures, because I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to touch on them. And I assure you they're there. As I've always said, it's the Word of God's like Prego, the spaghetti sauce. It's in there. It's in there. It's in the Word. It's in the Bible. The advertisement said, it's like Prego. It's in there. So, praise God. I need to change mics. Oh, you're getting me another one. Okay. It may be echoing off these monitors. It may be echoing off of this thing right here. I don't know. Okay. All right. I'm going to be going through a lot of scripture, and I'm going to go through them quickly, so I won't have time to read them all. I'm going to just highlight them. We'll take this thing. Right. Check. All right. Sounding better already. How about that? It's amazing what you do when you're plugged into the power. Isn't it? How about that? It's amazing. All right. Again, I'm going to go through some scriptures. I'm going to go through them briefly, but they're important scriptures, and I want you to know them all. I want you to understand them, because they're going to be your seed. I'm going to plant into you tonight some seed, and they're seeds of promise, seeds of God's promises, because when people are down and out, they're discouraged. Over the holidays, you never know when you're going to run into somebody that needs an encouraging word. And I want to be encouraging to you tonight, because there's so much in the Word of God that we need to be thankful for and that we need to be encouraged by. And there's nothing that the enemy can throw out there against us to cause us to try to be depressed or attempt to depress us. But what you can't go into the Word and have ammunition to fight back. Fight against the enemy. And it's very simple to look up and very simple to read and find. And what's important is, if you've got this information, if you've got these promises written down where you can get hold of them, and someone calls you on the phone and says, I'm so down and out, or I'm just having such a hard time during the holidays, or I've been so out of touch, you can encourage them with the Word. That's what it's there for. It's to build you up. It's not to tear anybody down. It is to build up. And that's what we want to do. I'm going to start off in the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, in chapter 5, from verse 6 through 11, God talks about us being reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled and saved by His life. When you trust in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, He forgave you of all your sins. Been forgiven of all your sins. And He brought you into a personal relationship with Him. When you accept Jesus Christ, each and every one of you accepted Jesus Christ. All of you here have. I know you're Christians. I know you're saved. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But again, I want to arm you with an opportunity maybe to be able to help somebody else that's in need. Not just by giving them money, not just by giving them gifts, presents, or whatever, but by giving them the most important thing that they can receive, and that's Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Praise God. All right, it says in this, been reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. And this is because you've got that personal relationship which brought you to a point where you are called, you can call yourself a child of God. Each and every one of us are children of God. There we go again. All right. That is a possession that each one of us possess. We possess that forgiveness. We possess that fact that we are have a personal relationship with Christ. And we have possessed the fact that we are a child of the King. We're a child of God. And we, because we have that possession, you know, if you give a gift at Christmas time, any time of the year, if I gave you a gift, or you gave me a gift, if you gave me a gift, that gift would be my possession, would it not? Okay? God gave Jesus Christ, His only Son, as a gift. He gave salvation as a gift. He gave His love, His everything that God gives us is given to us as a gift. And once we receive it, it's our possession. We hold on to it. So it's your possession to hold on to. And since you're adopted into the kingdom of God, you're a child of the King. Because of that and that possession that you have, praise God, you're a child of God, you're a brother to Jesus Christ, and because of all that, that's who you are. That's who you are. And that's what I want to make sure you know tonight, because I'm going to read you a bunch of promises that God's given you to carry us through the holidays. And you can only receive it if you're a child of God. He's got it out there for the whole world. But the whole world has rejected it if they haven't received Jesus Christ. Only you that have received it as their possession can take this information. And it's very important information, because until you understand and know that you're a child of the God and you possess that inheritance, and nothing else that I say is going to apply to you. But you've accepted it. You've done it. You folks here again and say, I'm preaching to the choir. And that's okay. All right. Not only did Jesus forgive you, save you, write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but He also made you a part of the kingdom of God. And He gave you an abundance of promises. And what I want to do is give you a list of some of these promises. Now, I didn't go through and get them all. If I did, we'd need a week to go through it. But I want to give you some promises that you can use as seed to sow in your own life and into somebody else's life. All right. In 1 John 1:9, this is a scripture you can write down. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but I'm going to tell you what it means. 1 John 1:9, He offers us a promise of daily forgiveness. It says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody asked me, I believe it was last time I spoke, I talked about repentance. Why do you repent? Why do you have to repent if God's forgiven you of all your sins? Well, one thing the Word says to, He asks you to. And I'll tell you why. And I'll give you an example. You get up in the morning, you get out of bed, you start your daily routine. You go take a shower in the morning before you go to work. Get all cleaned up, spiffed up, put on your deodorant, put on your hairspray and your whatever you put on, and your clean clothes, right? And if you go to work, you go out into the world, because the world, I'm telling you, the world is a dirty place. If you go out in the world and work a day's work, and you come back home, you're going to be dirty. You're going to get some of that dirt and grime and filth from the world on your person. Because then you're going to need to get cleaned up all over again before you go to work the next day. Do you not? Okay. I think everybody's following me there. It's the same thing with your everyday life. The world's a dirty place. It's a nasty place. And we go out there every day in the flesh. Our flesh goes out there. Your spirit man is totally saved, totally protected from sin. Your soul is being saved. That's what God works on. That's your mind, will, and emotion. And God works on that through the Holy Spirit every day. But your flesh is this outside shell that the rest of you lives in. And every day that you go out, you're going to get something out of the world, something, some influence from the world is going to come against you. Somewhere, if you go to the grocery store, if you're going to work, if you're going downtown for anything, if you're going Christmas shopping, you're going to be bumping into somebody, or somebody's going to get in your way, or somebody's going to be in the checkout line going too slow or going too fast. And something is going to cause you to cause your flesh to flare up. It's going to cause it to get a little bit of smudge on it. Maybe not much. Maybe just a little teeny smudge. And because you don't want that smudge and another smudge and another smudge and another smudge, after a while, you'll be pretty dirty all over. But if you repent, if you've done something, you say, Lord, I shouldn't have been impatient with these people standing in front of me in line today. Anger welled up in me, or a smart remark welled up in my mind, or I had road rage because somebody was not going fast enough to suit me, or they were going too fast and they buzzed around me. You see, these are the kind of things in the world that can flare up against you and cause you to get a smudge. It's nothing that's going to cause you to lose your salvation. It's nothing that's going to cause you, but it's an inroad for the devil. It's an inroad for the devil to use that. And he said, you don't clean that little smudge off, you're going to have another little smudge over here. And it's ammunition for the enemy to get into your life. If he sees where you've had a little conflict and road rage today, he's going to make sure that somebody pulls out in front of you again tomorrow and increase that road rage and take advantage of it. But if you repent, if you have a repentance where, Lord, I haven't been perfect today, and there's some things in my life that weren't Christ-like, I ask for forgiveness, Lord, and help me to overcome this where it won't happen again. And that's all he's asking. It's to keep the devil off your back. That's what it's for. God knows your heart. He knows that spirit man alive in you and what that spirit man can do. So he's not going to hold it against you. It's not a sin that will cause you to lose your salvation or cause your name in the place in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's life, okay? It's just life. Just like when you go to work in a day, you're going to get some kind of world dirty in the world. Even if you're in a clean environment at work, you're still going to come home and feel like you need a shower, okay? That's where I'm coming from there. So that's why it says daily forgiveness of sin. It means as we live out our life in this filthy, dirty world, you can stay clean every day because he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. All right, another promise in Hebrews 13:5. His continued presence in our life. He promises his continued presence in our life. This is the God of the universe. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Imagine that. Imagine and understand it. That this promise, you have a friend, a traveling companion, a partner, a brother, a Lord and a Savior, a sovereign God that will never, ever, under any condition, no matter whatever, desert or forsake you. Now, who can promise you that? Nobody can. A lot of people can make promises. And I've made promises in the past I wished I hadn't made. And I've made promises that I just couldn't keep. Not that I didn't want to, but it just didn't work out sometimes. But God makes promises, and he says in his word that his word will not come back void. And when he makes his promises to you, they'll not come back void. Now, one you can trust, Jesus, once you can trust Jesus as your Savior, you can't ever be alone. You know that? Think about it. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll never be alone again. Now, I know some people get lonely. They sit home alone, and they say, I'm so lonely. I wish somebody that I could talk to. Well, if they're a Christian, they need to talk to Jesus. Just have a little talk with Jesus. It's like the song says, tell him all about your troubles. Hallelujah. It's only when you take your eyes and mind off of the things of God and put them on the circumstances around you that you may feel like you've been abandoned or left on your own. But in reality, you can't be outside of God's touch regardless of the circumstances. says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's his promise. It belongs to every believer. And you can share this. It's a great seed. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you know a Christian that's down and out, remind them of these things. These things are the seed that you need to plant and hold on to and remind folks of these in the Word. Hallelujah. Thank you. Another one. Let's see. It says stop for a moment and get out of the flesh. If you're feeling lonely, you feel like, hey, you ain't got a friend in the world, and you're getting in the flesh. So get out of the flesh. Stop for a moment, get out of the flesh, and ask yourself, what is it that I possess? I possess Jesus, my friend who lives on the inside of me, who will never leave me. And I'll just take time to talk this out with him. What your problem is. Praise God. All right, another promise. This is in John 14, 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. We have the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit to us. He said, I am going to send you a helper. And when he comes, to empower you and to do well. Empower you and to do well. He's sending the Holy Spirit to empower us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He walks with us, lives with us, inside of us every day. When God calls on you to serve him, he'll have the Holy Spirit to enable you to serve him in whatever capacity he asks you to do. And no matter how big or how small, he'll not send you without having you enabled first. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you direction. He'll give you guidance for your life. Now, that's another promise, another seed, Matthew 6, verse 25. He will supply all our needs. He promises that he will supply all your needs. There's plenty of verses about God meeting our needs, and he says he takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And if he'll take care of them, you know he'll take care of you. Do not worry of what you would eat or drink or where you would lay your head. Now, the unbelievers think about these things, and your heavenly Father knows your needs, all these things. Here's God's promises to meet our daily needs. Who else can promise what you need? Who else can promise that they will provide you with all your needs? And the good thing about it is he knows your needs before you even know what they are. He's already planning ahead. I've seen that happen time and time again in my life. Where I had a need and he'd already provided for that need before I even had it. He put money in the bank, or he had something set aside for me that I didn't even know I was going to need until it come up. Praise God. All right, another promise. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. He promises to answer prayer. That's another promise that we possess. He promises. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now that should be a confidence building scripture for all of us. Yeah, he promises to answer your prayer. It should give you confidence in getting on your knees and praying, asking God. Prayer is one of the ways we often have a need and want something else to meet that need. Or we think, I don't know how God's going to work this out. Sometimes you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough trust in God. You think, well, God will do that. I know he'll do it for somebody, but will he do it for me? Yes, he'll do it for each and every one of his children. He promises it. Praise God. He promises this for every burden that you're dealing with. Hallelujah. Another promise is James chapter 1, verse 5. He grants wisdom. Hallelujah. Now, to me, that's an awesome promise. A promise of wisdom. Because wisdom can be hard to come by. I always heard that education was expensive, no matter what kind it was. If you want to receive wisdom through education, it's a pretty expensive process. Because a lot of times we had to learn from our mistakes. And that can be pretty expensive. That's exactly right, brother. That's a good comment. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it all to all people, generously and without reproach, and it will be given unto him. And you may say, I don't know what to do. You have the promise of wisdom to be able to see things from God's perspective. And that's the important part. See it from God's perspective, not necessarily our perspective. You have that promise, and he'll grant you wisdom in every circumstance of your life. If you have the wisdom of God dwelling within you, you have a promise from God to know how to respond or how to react to every situation. That's part of the wealth of your inheritance from being in the family of God. Wisdom. Seeing things from God's perspective and knowing how to walk in it outside the flesh. That's the important part. United to the flesh and walking in God's perspective. Another promise, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, is peace. Rejoice in the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Peace of God passes understanding. That was Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Praise God. No matter what's going on in your life, God will give you a hedge that will separate you from the anxiety that will fulfill your need of peace in your life. What does the Bible say? It says that Jesus is our peace, who is living on the inside of you. We go through situations, circumstances, sometimes bad news, frightening news, depressing news. And where do we get our peace from? Not from our friends, not from the doctor, not from the bank, not from the government, and not from the news broadcasts. It's from our Lord. It's from our God. Praise God. All right. Got just a few more I want to share with you. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39. He promises that nothing can separate you from God's love. He promises not to leave you nor forsake you. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Also, Psalms. Well, no, let me stick with this one. It says, death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor nothing present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You have that awesome gift of God's unconditional love in your life. You may have this person or that person that loves you, but their love will pale in comparison to the love of the Lord. Absolutely nothing created can separate you from the love of God. All right, Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3. 103, verse 1 through 3 is a healing verse where God promises healing. He says, Forget none of his benefits, who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all your disease. God never changes. He healed people in the Old Testament. He healed people in the New Testament. And he heals people today. Jesus is the great healer. We can be healthy and strong until the Lord finishes with us and brings us to the end of our road. Praise God. Another promise, John chapter 10, 27 through 30. Eternal security. He promises eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You possess the gift of eternal life. And there's eternal life and eternal death. Eternal life is promised to the child of God. And if you live in sin, there's a promise about chastisement and discipline. Even a child of God is promised chastisement and discipline. Because that's the inroads for Satan. We talked about repentance. There's a way to clear that up. Now, I believe I got one more here that I want to share with you. And it's in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. We have the promise of heaven. After all this, now these are not all the promises in Scripture. These are just a few that I want you to be able to arm yourselves with and be able to share with someone else that may come to you in need and be able to use for your own self. When you have a bad day, you can say, well, I may have had a bad day, but I got all these promises from God that I can fall back on. It says in John 14, 1 through 3, we have the promise of heaven. Another thing you possess as part of your riches says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I am coming back. See, that's another promise in the same Scripture, that he's coming back. He's promised to come back. He said, I'm coming back again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? That's a wonderful promise. Fantastic. We have a promise of heaven. And a promise of God is an awesome thing. It's a possession. It's a seed from the Word of God to be planted. His Word would not come back void. Claim what's yours. You have this inheritance. It's all yours. And don't just, you can claim it, but don't just hold on to it. Share it. Sow that seed. If someone needs, has in their life, these few promises, this is only a few of what's in Scripture. These few promises are abundant riches that you can share. They're gifts that's been given to you for possession. And there's nothing a person can do better than share their possessions with someone else, that something you have and you have in abundance, to share it with someone that doesn't have anything. And that's what we're called on to do as children of God. Remember who you are and how rich you are, and share your wealth with someone else in need during this holiday season. Amen. I hope that was be encouraging to you anyway. But praise God. Anybody have a need they need prayer for right now? We're going to close in prayer. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God tonight. I thank you for all these Christians, Lord, that you planted in this place. And I thank you for their dedication to be here tonight, Lord, to receive the word. And I pray, Lord, that you've been glorified, Lord, this night. Because it's such an awesome thing to be a child of God. It's such an awesome thing to receive the promises and the inheritance that you have given us. And Lord, we have nothing but good things to look forward to. We have nothing but great things in our life. And Lord, if there's someone out there that's depressed or oppressed during this holiday season, Lord, and we have an opportunity to speak to them, let us be able to share this riches that you've given us. We love you and thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good night.